Way to start a Monday.
Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you.
That was just
Pac-Man,
for you.
Baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'ma love you so. From your big round bottom to the top of your boat. Miss Pac-Man, baby, I'm in love with you. 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 Hey ho, hey ho, hey ho.
Wow.
Yeah, when I first saw you eating those dots in that maze, I knew you were no ordinary yellow circle.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday,
goes,
everybody.
Go, but you just keep on eating
for you.
Dots.
Back there,
cigarette
row,
before.
Yeah, on the left.
And that is why I love you. Oh, no.
I have to every time say, do not hit the end show button. Do not hit the end show button.
Hit the end show button. That would be bad.
Every time I go over there, no, no, don't hit the end show button. Don't hit the end show button. Boy, oh, I know.
Don't you know better?
No. Apparently, no. Apparently, I know nothing. Okay. Good morning. Happy Monday to you all. I know. I know. You're all like, God, I don't want to be at work.
No, no, I'm over here yawning.
I'm not yawning, but I'm telling you, it's all cloudy. I could just curl up in a corner. My favorite corner in the house and just sleep.
Shining and windy and all that fun stuff.
Oh, yes. I would love.
None of those crazy fires got this direction, so we're okay.
I don't understand. I don't understand brush fires at all. I think it's just because I've never experienced one. I don't understand how it works. I don't understand. Oh, I understand how they start. I don't understand how you can't stop it from going. I just don't understand. So somebody explain to me. I'm not trying to be all, what's the word, dense? But I don't understand. I don't. I feel like if you wet your stuff down, it shouldn't burn. But I know nothing. It could be too hot. Could be evaporating.
The main deal is people aren't doing that, and there's burn ban effects, and it's incredibly windy here.
Oh.
Like 50 miles per hour winds.
Oh.
And they're doing stupid stuff, and just a little bitty spark will set a whole blaze off.
Well, it's just
we've not had rain in weeks.
We haven't either. So they're saying it's dry here, but I'm like this, people. If you know it's dry, I feel like go outside, turn your hose on, just get it wet. I'd be outside, but if it was here, I'd be outside. As soon as it said it's dry, I'm just wetting the whole house down. Just the whole yard is muddy.
Yeah.
They'd be like, why are you doing that? My house is not burning down. Not today, buddy.
People being dumb, they're not paying attention, and they're doing stupid things.
Not on my watch, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ginger, what's going on in the world of news? Anything interesting?
Yeah, there's a guy out there who he is now my, like, God or idol or something. I want to be just like this guy.
Oh, is he cute?
There's no picture, but I'm going to assume not. Since he took this much time, I'm going to assume probably not. All right. So GamePolitics.com this morning has a story, how to reach level 85 in World of Warcraft without killing anything.
That sounds boring, but I don't know.
Again, that's why I said probably not too hot because he took this much time to do this. But you never know. Could you? So they say, could you imagine finishing World of Warcraft, hitting the highest level possible, without killing a single thing? Is it hard to imagine? It is hard to imagine, but it's also apparently very possible to do. Very hard to do for sure, but not impossible. According to one player named Everbloom, he managed to hit level 85 without killing a single creature. I'm probably going to call his bluff and say there's no way. You had to have killed something, but you never know. He claims that he spent the last 5 months picking herbs, digging up bones, exploring the wilderness of Azeroth, and doing all manner of tedious tasks to gain experience. He did this by taking advantage of the profession system, gaining small amounts of experience for advancing in various extracurricular activities. mine's better. There we go.
Yes.
All right.
Out, devil, out. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so his announcement, taking verbatim from, from battle.net form says, well, I did it. It was certainly a different way of leveling. It requires lots of patience, but I did get to see the whole game in a new light. Being on the ground and sneaking around mining and herbing and eventually archaeology, going everywhere to get every single point of discovery XP that you can really gives you a chance to see an amazing world up close and personal. I spent hours swimming around reefs and flying to the farthest reaches of the map. If you like to explore and enjoy a challenge, I really, really recommend this. I've been playing since day one on other characters, and And I even have an original Lore Master, you know, back when it was hard. And I saw so many new things with Everbloom that it really made it worthwhile for me to continue on with this character, and each level was a major achievement. I would like to ask... I cannot read today. So possibly look into changing the invitation to the Argent Tournament, a scripted event, so that it doesn't flag you as having completed the quest when you haven't actually completed the quest. That almost broke my heart when I logged in and checked my stats page to find 0 kills, 0 quests, 0 stats. I had gone to 0 kills, 1 quest completed, when all I did was open a letter. I opened a ticket and requested the quest to be removed, but was told it is not possible and that I should mention it on the forums in the hope that Blizzard changes it. So now I am server transferring this one to Antonius to join the guild, which has a 0 kills guild that was started there for us alternate advancement people. Oh, that sounds like fun. I think most of the guild is searching out quests that require no killing, but I shall stick to my 0 kills, 0 quest attempt yet again. Come join the fun? That sounds like fun. I may actually have to do that.
That's something that I would do. But, you know, it took me, 2 years before I had a level 50 in COH. Mine is because I'm not even trying to not kill anything to level. I just like to explore too much. I'm all over in the corner where nobody goes finding stuff.
Now it's whether or not if you roll a hunter, because you get hunters at level 1, does their kills count for yours? Do your pet kills count for yours?
That's interesting. Good thing to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those angry birds strike again.
Again. Darn Angry Birds.
The success of the Angry Birds franchise continues on the PlayStation Network, according to several analyst reports. According to Lazard Capital Markets' Colin Sebastian, the PSN version of Angry Birds has become the biggest selling title on the platform ever. The game, built by Finnish studio Rovio, was released on the PlayStation Network way back in January. PSN currently has 75 million registered accounts worldwide, Sebastian said. PSN appears to be gaining traction, tapping into the casual and social gaming market, he added, with titles such as Angry Birds, which is the most downloadable game through PSN. Now, even if you hate Angry Birds, there's no denying its incredible success. Angry Birds apparently cost Rovio $140,000 to develop. It has been downloaded over 100 million times across various mobile devices. Numerous editions are available on iOS, and a free ad-supported version has proven popular on the Android. Angry Birds Rio, the latest addition to the series, has surpassed 10 million downloads in 10 days since the launch. The game's developer is making this claim. Rovio, backed now with $42 million in venture capital funding, is pondering a jump on the New York Stock Exchange. That's from over at Develop. com, if you want to go and check out that story. That's amazing. develop-online.net, sorry.
That is amazing. 100 million times for a download?
Yeah, if they go on the stock exchange, I'm buying it. I am so buying it.
So, is he married?
I don't need his money. I can put my, I got a dollar or two to spare. Stock is cheap. Y'all just don't know. Stock is cheap. You just got to know what to buy. You'll be rich by the end of the week. Got to know what to buy.
Crazy.
And I can still sit in his lap even if he is married. Hello.
That is true. That is very true.
Lap sitting does not require any marital status.
Well, speaking of marital statuses, the People's Choice Royal Wedding Dress revealed. With worldwide fascination and speculation over what the future princess will wear on her much-anticipated wedding day, Xbox 360 is proud to reveal the official dress of the royal bride and groom, Kate and Will, at Xbox Live Avatars. The Xbox Live dashboard recently allowed both Xbox Live Gold and Free members to vote for their favorite wedding outfit for the royal couple, from a selection of 4 very different dress options. Almost 50,000 Xbox Live members took part in the lighthearted poll, and we can now reveal that the traditional fairy tale white wedding attire won, stealing the nation's heart with over 58% of the votes. In second place was the black tie dress, third place was the Scottish Highlands attire, and in last place was the alternative cocktail wear. We would like to say that the royal couple will take their fashion advice from us, but we fear that this will have no bearing on the actual royal wedding.
Hell no.
Kate Middleton. I know, right? Oh, that would be hilarious, though. That would be awesome. Alas, we still think they are the best-dressed avatars the live community has ever seen, and Xbox wishes them the best of luck in their royal wedding. Oh, that's so cute.
I'm still reeling through the fact that the entire country gets the day off for the wedding. I just, wow. You guys love your
bride. I want these pictures, but it does not look like they're going to give us any.
I want some pictures of the real thing is what I want. That's what I need.
I want an invitation.
Oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
All right. Come on. We're Gamer Girls Radio. You want us there?
No, they don't. No,
we'll
they don't.
We're going to hide our bumpkin accents for a little bit.
I won't.
All right. That's true.
My accent may deepen, in fact.
Oh, no.
My name is Corey. I'm from Texas. There you go.
No, Corey, bad Corey.
That's how I roll. I'm proud of my Texas stash. Okay, so, wait a minute. I actually have a story for you. I'm multitasking like the champ that I am. Ha ha. Well, according to State of the World developer, Red Redemption believes that serious games, those that tackle real-world issues and aim to educate as well as entertain, can be done on a commercial scale, making them a viable business for publishers that are becoming increasingly risk-averse. This is from GamesIndustry.biz, one of our favorite sites to visit. Got good stuff over there. However, as with all game development, it's a struggle to realize the final product. Red Redemption, it's not Red Dead Redemption, let me be clear, it's Red Redemption, spent as much as 200,000 francs, quid, rupees, starfish, pounds, something, and they raised $1 million from investors faced with death threats over the subject matter and, of course, had to rework the system in order to score more finance through the R&D tax credits offered by the UK government, according to Claude Thomas. He says, I felt there was a market there and it was actually feasible to develop serious games commercially. And he said this of his decision to leave big-budget games development and enter into the serious games market. He says, we're still quite away from proving that, but I think it's a high concept that I'd like to prove. We'd also like to get into a position where we can ourselves sponsor other projects in this area, and that would be incredible. As big publishers aren't yet convinced enough to invest in serious games, the easiest route to finance through venture capitalists, according to Thomas, who warned of high costs involved in raising money. Although we raised about $1 million, we didn't spend all of that on the game. I would suggest that we spend at least $100,000 or $200,000 just on raising the money and administering that, he said in an interview that was published over at GamesIndustry.biz today. He says this is really an important thing if anyone else is thinking of raising money this way. It takes a lot of work and time and money to do the administration. He says we spent quite a lot of legal and setting up our licenses and distributor. Says we spent something, not enough probably, on promotion. You can read the rest of this and their full interview over at GamesIndustry.biz. I think he's probably right. There's, if movies can do things like Schindler's List and do so well, you'll probably do the same thing with a game. It's just a very delicate, fine line to walk to do something serious. Yeah, gotta not make the hero too Schwarzenegger.
That guy.
Yes, that guy drives us crazy.
He drives me nuts.
Boo, Schwarzenegger, boo.
True story. What were you thinking, California?
Nothing.
Apparently. all right. Speaking of people that I'm not too much of a fan of, I'm pulling the story from GamePolitics.com this morning. Anonymous taking Sony fight to the street. Oh, yes, yes. Here they come again. Hacktivist group Anonymous. I love that, hacktivist. All right, so hacktivist group Anonymous may have targeted Sony's websites and online services in the past week as a way to protest its legal action against PS3 jailbreaker George Geohot Hotz. But soon it will take the fight offline like it did with the Church of Scientology. See, there we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Thank you. The group announced that it is staging a four-hour in-store boycott at Sony stores around the world on Saturday, April 16th. Over 1,000 people have committed to joining in on the protest through Facebook. Ooh, that's interesting. See, now I might be able to do that.
Yeah.
Still love you, Sony. Last Monday, Anonymous launched a DDoS, a DOS attack, on the PlayStation Network that made it inaccessible for most of the day. At the same time, an anonymous offshooting calling itself Sony Recon targeted individual Sony employees. But taking down the PSN was not the most popular of decisions. PS3 users complained that the takedown was doing more harm than good to the gamers. True story.
Very. Mm-hmm.
Anonymous reversed the hack and took down the Sony Careers page instead. There you go. Anonymous is... Anonymous.
No, that's not good either. Some people need jobs, people. No, no.
That is true, but I would rather them do that. Yeah. Anonymous is not attacking the PSN at this time. Sony's official position is that the PSN is undergoing maintenance. We realize that targeting the PSN is not a good idea. We have, therefore, temporarily suspended our action until a method is found that will not severely impact Sony customers. This was written by Anonymous in one of their blog posts. Public awareness and generating publicity to group activities and causes is probably a better avenue to follow than hacking embarrassing Sony employees. PC Magazine, which is where Game Politics pulled this from, says, "We will continue to follow the story as it develops, and so shall we." Hacktivist group. All right, and it's good for you. I like the idea of taking it to the store, the Facebook thing, all that. I like that.
That's much better. Put your face out there if you're going to do it. Just
exactly.
Don't be attacking Jobs page. And stop hiding. That's cowardly.
Oh, that's kind of what Anonymous does. That's kind of the reason why they're Anonymous.
Cowards.
Anonymous.
Cowards. You do this old school. Sticks and stones. Well, okay, no sticks and stones. Let me be clear. Fist. Fist and stones.
Fisticuffs.
And just when you thought it was safe to go back into the water, another conference.
No, it's never safe to go back in the water. After Jaws, it's never safe. Nope.
It's another game conference. The IGTA in Chicago is back. This is not actually a conference, but they're rebooting the chapter. And if you are into game development or trying to get in or just a game development groupie like myself, up in Chicago, they're rebooting their chapter and looking for your help. If you're a game developer, a student, even perhaps interested in getting into the industry, or a gamer who just wants to talk games with other like-minded people, they say come and check them out. They can join them as they host meet and greets, industry panels, game jams, and even classes. Their first meetup starts this Tuesday, April the 19th, at Dave & Buster's in Chicago. I think they're going to get more gaming done than anything else. Dave & Buster's, there's food there and games. Oh, it's so on. They said you can visit their meetup group, which is at meetup.com/IGA-Chicago/ to let them know if you're interested. And while you're at it, they want you to check out their new website, IGDAChicago.com, for all the latest news of what they're up to. And they, of course, listed a group of reasons why you should join the IGDA. I think I'm a member. It's been a while. You can participate in, of course, local problem-solving, inspirational lectures, and chapter-run events available throughout the U.S. and internationally. You, of course, get member-only discounts to leading game industry events, including IGDA's Leadership Forum and IGDA at GDC, and access to special networking roundtables and workshops and receptions. Access to thousands of extremely talented members like myself in various arenas of the game development industry, and many other benefits. They're saying you can drop by igda.org/join to sign up. And if you're not familiar with what IGDA is, it is the International Game Developers Association, and it is the largest nonprofit membership organization serving individuals who create video games. They also bring together developers at conference and in local chapters and special interest groups to improve their lives and your craft. And that is up on our site if you want to take a look at that. There's also the flyer there if you want to copy it and print it out to put in your little pocket so you remember to go or where to go. Or if you're like me, I have to have a printed copy and the Google GPS map at the same time because you've got to have more than one source of directions. But anyway, hopefully you guys get out. Ginger?
I'm still here. Yep, that is awesome. All right. Strategy First increases relief effort for Japan due to ongoing earthquakes. Donations are being made to the Red Cross for Japan's earthquake and tsunami relief. Donations on sales from strategyfirst.com increased from 20% to 30%. Deadline extended from April 11, 2010 to April 18, 2011. Software publisher Strategy First Incorporation donation... The website will feature both hardcore and casual games so that everyone in the family may purchase and support Japan. The efforts are to help the Red Cross with Japan earthquake and tsunami relief efforts. The earthquakes and tsunami have devastated the country and its people. Strategy First is extending its commitment to helping the region and its people through the Red Cross. Continuing April 11, 2011, anyone who purchases one of the other over 300 titles available on the website will directly help the Red Cross provide relief to the victims in Japan. Some of the available titles featured are Ninja Blade Online, Darkfall Lost Souls, Crash Time 3, Dark Star the Interactive Movie, Steel Fury, Jagged Alliance 2 Gold with casual titles, Railway Mogul, Airport Control Simulator, and many more. Strategy First Director Emmanuel Wall says, "With the unfortunate news coming from Japan, we are renewing our efforts to support the country and its people through the Red Cross. Our games will provide an opportunity to help others while providing good quality entertainment for the, to gamers." All right. With your support, the Red Cross can continue to provide life-saving medical care, shelter, supplies, and most importantly, hope to earthquake and tsunami survivors. Along with hardcore strategy and casual games, other genres include simulation, arcade action, racing, RPG, adventure, grand strategy, and train simulator. All titles are available for your donation. The needs are great, but you can make a difference. All funds raised will support the Red Cross. So that's awesome. So 30% of their sales go towards that. So awesome. Miss Corey?
Oh, you know what? I'm muted. Mm-hmm. Okay. Might not want to do that. Okay. So those of you out there who have tablets and play games on your tablet will be happy to know you are not alone. A survey says that the number one use of tablets at current is gaming, not reading ebooks, going on Facebook and Twitter, or watching movies, games, and gaming. According to a new survey conducted by Google's AdMob subsidiary, 84% of tablet owners, like iPad, use the device to play games. Around 78% say that they use it for searching for information, probably about games, and 74% use it for checking and sending emails that probably have to do with signing up with games. No, I'm kidding. The data comes from a new Google survey, which polled about 1,400 tablet owners. The survey puts reading the news as the fourth most common activity at 61%, followed by social networking, 56%, music and videos, 51%, ebooks, 46%, shopping at 42%, and other at 19%. The full report showed that 43% spent more time on their tablet than on their desktop or laptop PC, and a third of respondents also said that they spend more time on their tablets than even watching TV. Wow. A total of 68% said at least an hour, say spent at least an hour a day using their tablet, with 82% using it at home, mostly on weekends and in the evening, and over three quarters said that their desktop or laptop PC usage decreased since owning a tablet, with 28% describing the device as their primary computer.
Oh, wow.
And that's from our friends at Game Politics from Google via GIBiz. GI.biz, rather. Isn't that amazing? I tell you, we're taking over.
That's crazy. I cannot imagine using one of those as my primary computer. I cannot.
Well, if it could play some Fallen Arts, I'd do it. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. We got to the second region. Oh, it's so pretty.
What? You did what? You did what without me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you suck.
I know, right?
You are not my friend.
Uh-huh. And over somebody between finished their Doom Buggy.
I'm still riding my motorcycle across the wastelands. I just love doing it. I haven't even been doing any quests. I just ride. I don't know what quest I'm on, nothing. I just ride.
Well, I had to go back to the first region. There apparently were some quests I needed for some points that I missed. Yeah. All right, so Gary Scheinman's music from Bioshock and Dante's Inferno live in concert at California State University, Northridge. Oh, yeah, it's a party. Yeah, this is free admission, by the way. Tickets are required, though. You can contact the ticket office.
Mm-hmm.
Can I give out this number? Yeah, 818-677-2488. All right, so anyways, Gary Scheinman's award-winning music from the video games Bioshock, Bioshock 2, and Dante's Inferno will be performed by the Media Composition and Studio Ensemble Full Orchestra at Plaza de Sol Performance Hall, California State University, Northridge, on May 9th, 2011. The concert program also includes the first public performance of Scheinman's viola concerto, Zingaro, Second Movement, featuring renowned viola soloist Andrew Duckles. All right. Elizabeth Sellers, founding director, Media Composition and Studio Ensemble, says, "This year we are thrilled to have Gary Scheinman, an award-winning composer for video games, Bioshock and Dante's Inferno, as our guest. The concert will include music from Gary's video game scores performed live to picture." All right, this is awesome. The Studio Ensemble is a lab band orchestra for the Media Composition program at CSUN. Their spring concerts feature full orchestra with both professional and student performers. Previous guest artists have included David Newman from Ice Age and Mark Waters, 2002 Salt Lake Olympics.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. The concert program features the following Gary Shaman music selections: Bioshock 2 Suite, Bathysphere from Bioshock 2, Parabon from Bioshock 2, Dancers on a String, How She Sees the World, Cohen's Masterpiece, The Second Circle. Second Circle is from Dante's Inferno. Storm of Lust is also Dante's. Donna's Dogma, Mycma. Bella's Secret Revealed, The Queen of Hell, Redemption, Beatrice Taken. Those are all from Dante's. And then you've got Zingaro's Second Movement featuring soloist Andra Duckles. And winding it all up is Eleanor's Darkness from Bioshock 2. That actually sounds kind of cool. And since it looks like it's free, I wish I lived close enough, because that would be awesome to go to.
Let's go anyway.
We should. Somebody send us a plane ticket. Two of them.
I think I need five.
Five?
Yeah, I need to put all my carry-ons in the seats next to me because I refuse to check anybody.
True story.
I wonder if you can do that, buy plane tickets for your luggage. Interesting. Okay, so you personal trainers out there, take heed. Exerbeat is launching for the Nintendo Wii May 17th. Namco Bandai partners have announced that Exerbeat for the Wii, again, will be available for pre-order, or is available pre-order via Amazon and Play ahead of its general release on May the 17th. Exerbeat offers interactive fitness experience where the whole family can work out to the beat while utilizing the Wii remote to perform more than 150 simple yet challenging exercises. With a wealth of activities, in-game personal trainers, customizable programs, and data for calories burned, Exerbeat offers a robust virtual workout studio for the home where everyone can get involved. It says it has something for everyone. Friends and family can find something they like with the 155 exercises covering 8 categories of popular exercise routine, including hip-hop, Latin dance, aerobics, karate, karate forms, yoga, Pilates, and stretching. There are even party fitness exercises for the kids. There's easy and accessible workouts. Players can enjoy each exercise by following easy-to-understand instructions as they move their body and Wiimote to the rhythm. The number of calories burned, as well as METs, intensity of the workout, are displayed for each exercise. Players can even create a personal workout program instantly by specifying problem areas to work on and setting the length of their workouts and workout goals. The instructors are also helpful, give insight and exercise tips, making you feeling like you're working out with a real live virtual trainer. Friends and family members can also compete for the highest score per exercise, whether by simultaneously playing side-by-side or comparing results on ranking boards. For long-term competitive play, there's the Race to Complete Around the World mode, where your Mii travels around the globe based on your workout progress, as well as comprehensive graphs and calendars to keep track of the entire family's progress. Oh, this sounds so neat. There's even a special set of kid-oriented exercises in Party Fitness to get the youngest of players involved. And it says it's good for fitness every day with a variety of menu options, including one-day-only exercise challenges. And, of course, the around-the-world mode I just mentioned, weekly challenges. Keeping a healthy lifestyle has never been so much fun. So you can check that out over at exerbeat.com. I so want this.
That does sound like fun.
I love me some exercising with my Wii. And the steps, the step exercise with the Wii fitness or the Wii balance board, oh, that's hotness. If you don't have one of those and you're wondering what all the fuss is about, you have to get the balance board. Even if you pick up the Biggest Loser for Wii, that one's kind of hard. This one may probably be a little nicer to you. Jillian's not nice on the Wii. She's not nice at all. Probably why I'm avoiding going back to my exercise. She's mean. Oh, look who finally showed up.
Oh,
you were supposed to be here yesterday. I'm sorry. She can't hear me. Let's do this then. You're behind. Yeah, she's mean.
Oh, she does sound mean.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know else who's mean?
Who?
Duke Nukem. Oh, yes. Duke Nukem Forever set to kick ass and chew bubblegum during the Gadget Show Live 2011. yeah. First UK opportunity to play Duke Nukem Forever and gain a free membership to the exclusive Duke Nukem Forever First Access Club. 2K Games announced today that legendary hero Duke Nukem will make an appearance at this year's Gadget Show live in Birmingham. Duke Nukem Forever will be playable to the public for the first time in the UK in the luxurious Vegas-themed Duke gaming area. at stand number GZ183 between April 12th through the 17th, 2011. 2K, all right, 2K Games will also be giving away Duke Nukem Forever First Access Club certificates, allowing members to gain unique Duke content, updates, and early access to the game demo. Duke fans will also be able to receive free limited edition Duke t-shirts and badges, as well as stand the chance of winning one of the first ever UK copies of Duke Nukem Forever. Duke Nukem is one of the biggest and most recognizable brands in the interactive entertainment industry. No, I've never heard of him. Have you, Corey? Never. No.
Duke who?
Yeah, right. Irreverent, politically incorrect, and uber macho, Duke Nukem is the perfect, uncompromising, ass-kicking hero to remedy the overdose of today's gaming archetypes. Duke brings his signature brand of babe-loving, cigar-smoking, beer-chugging, and ass-kicking action as he saves the Earth and its babes from hordes of invading aliens. The Gadget Show Live is the perfect place to play Duke Nukem Forever before it is publicly released on June 10th, 2011 in the UK. I cannot talk. All right, so for more information on Duke Nukem Forever, including where to pre-order a copy, please visit DukeNukemForever.com. Duke Nukem Forever is rated BBFC18 by the TBC, whatever that is. Okay, that's cool. 2K Games is a division of 2K, a publishing label of Take-Two Interactive Software Incorporated. See, I wish we lived there. Corey, can we move overseas?
Sure.
Sure? All right, let's go.
I'm going to Paris. There will be no games done because I'll be in Paris. But, hey, we can move. I'm going straight
to
Paris.
There's going to be some hot gamers over in Paris.
No, shoes live in Paris. Shoes is
shoes. Shoes are nice, but I would rather go barefoot and have my game.
What? No. That is blasphemy you speak.
You can have the shoes. I want the games.
I'll take a, yeah. I'm going to be quiet. Mm-hmm. I'll get the games and the shoes. We could do both.
Okay.
Well, here's some interesting things you might want to know about. Something very interesting. Analysts are estimating 750,000 3DS sales in the United States so far. U.S. market watchers are expecting the Nintendo 3DS console to have sold up to 750,000 units during its 5 days on sale in the region during March. Did I say March? Oh, my God. Just stop it.
I know.
Doug Krutz of Cohen & Company predicted the highest number during the month, suggesting the console will be established stabilizing factor for the handheld market, which continues to decline. Wedbush Morgan's Michael Patchter put the sales figure at lower 500,000 units at the cost of the previous DS models, which are likely to be cut in half by the new handheld release. Krutz expects Pokemon Black and White to be the biggest seller for March in the U.S., shifting 3 million units combined, but Patchner estimates a more modest 1.4 million across both titles. THQ's Homefront and EA's Crysis 2 are likely to be the biggest home console games of the month, with 800,000 and 500,000 units sold respectively, according to Krutz. Patchner's guess comes in at 100,000 less for both titles. EA's Dragon Age 2, Activision's Call of Duty, Black Ops, and Ubisoft's Just Dance 2 are also likely to show success in March when the NPD Group reveals sales data this Thursday, April 14th. We will try to see if we can grab that. And one of the guys here, this comes from our buddies over at GamesIndustry.biz or GI.biz. One of the guys is saying something interesting. He says, even though they're saying 750,000 is not a lot, it's 750,000 for 3DS. That would still make it the biggest console launch in U.S. history. That's both in total units and financial impact. Wow. Go Nintendo.
Way to go, Nintendo. I still hear somebody's outselling you, though.
Oh, that's over in the U.K. Not here, though. Not here. We apparently want the 3D. It's because of the 3D porn. That's what it is.
You know us Americans, we're all about the 3D porn.
You know somebody is right now making some 3D porn. I don't know why people are so shocked when I say this. I said it on the show the other day, and I got a bunch of twits back from people going, I didn't say it, she did. Yeah, I said it, it's coming. I'm just thinking ahead. I'm warning you, it's coming.
No, I'm going to gouge my eyes out. I do not want to see that. Nobody send me any of that, okay?
I'm not saying I'm all for it or any of that stuff. I'm just saying it's coming. Be ready.
All right. I'm pulling. Actually, this looks like I'm going to do two short stories together. Maybe. think I may have lost my other one. But anyways, a couple of weeks ago, probably a month or so back now, I talked about the thief who stole the Game Boy from the dead kid at the funeral.
Cut him.
Yeah, looks like he finally got sentenced.
About time.
This was back in December of 2010 that a Western Pennsylvania man was wanted for stealing a Game Boy and other related items from a deceased teenager's coffin who died during a Christmas Day crash. The teen and the thief knew each other, which made the crime even more disturbing. Eventually, authorities caught up with the man, and now he faces the consequences of his action. 37-year-old Jody Bennett of Mentisol was sentenced to 2 years probation for the crime after pleading guilty to institutional vandalism and theft yesterday. Luckily, Bennett will do time, but not for his ghoulish behavior, Game Politics says. He was also sentenced by the Indiana County judge to 30 days to 6 months in jail for unrelated drunken driving and drug possession charges. Bennett said during sentencing that he felt horrible for what he had done and apologized to the family.
That is not good enough.
No, that's what I was just thinking. That's not cool, dude. I mean, not only was it the worst time of their lives, but you had to go and be a douchebag.
That is not good enough. I think he should have to do public service somewhere for the rest of his life. Forever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, we also talked a couple of days ago. I'm going to go ahead and run these two together if that's okay.
Go ahead.
We talked about another douche nozzle. Pennsylvania State Representative warns parents about school shooter game. Oh, yes, this guy's apparently still not figured out that this is not an actual game. It's mod. Pennsylvania State Representative Lawrence Curry, from now on being called the douche nozzle, is warning parents about a violent video game called School Shooter World Tour 2012. Apparently he doesn't know that it's a modification for Half-Life 2, or that it'll be free to download if its creators actually ever finish it, but, you know. So what all does he say? The game is modeled after the Columbine incident, or Northern Illinois, or the Virginia episode. It's a real concern to me. Now, what's the real concern? You don't know that this isn't a game. He says, I think it's definitely in poor taste, and I'll agree it's poor taste. This is from Dr. Kathleen Daugherty, the chair of psychology at Harrisburg Area Community College. Sorry, she's the one who says it was in poor taste. She tells them during the interview that she believes all the studies she has seen that link violent media to aggressive behavior in children. Because, again, hey, look, another idiot. all right. And the research shows that the correlation between violent media and violent behavior is as strong as the correlation as smoking and lung cancer, says Daugherty. They do impact our behavior. They don't impact everybody in the same way, just like not everybody who smokes gets lung cancer, but we know that there's a correlation. Oh, my gosh. All right. To state Representative Corey's credit, he is calling on parents to pay closer attention to the ESRB ratings on the covers of the games they buy for their kids. And parents should at least heed that advice. I agree. They should pay attention to those kind of things. They should know what their kids are doing, and they should interact with their kids in these games as well.
Amen.
But you two, Lawrence Curry and Daugherty chick, Kathleen Daugherty, there we go, y'all are idiots. Just somebody go in, take their internet away, okay? They're not smart enough for it. I'm sure they have to have help, you know, finding the on button even.
You are not in a nice mood today, are you, Ms. Chick?
What is it? Is it like Control-Alt-F4? Yes, please do that.
Oh, no, no.
Real life.
No.
bad, y'all too. No, please just duct tape next time. All right, it's your turn, Corey.
I'm sorry, I'm at a loss for words. I got a message. Okay, which I'll share with you after the show. It's not good. Okay, so moving along though. Oh, so you people who love the video games of the 70s, interactive exhibition in Brazil is going to be going on in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The free exhibition under the curatorships of Roger Tavares, PhD, and the production of Guilherme Bellini will bring several moments and curiosities of the early history of video games, especially games and machines produced in Brazil over that time. Moreover, can play classics like Breakout and Night Driver on the original Atari 2600. The public can learn about machines, guides, catalogs, advertisements, and accessories. Odyssey, Intellivision, Atari, Simon paddles, cartridges, to name a few. 10 computers will be running a tribute to Pong, one of the most influential games to date, and other classics from that time pioneers. There'll also be an original Space Invaders arcade operating for the audience interaction. The place will also hold various other activities related to the 70s, toys, decor, music concerts, television shows, impersonators, advertisements, and more. A journey through time is guaranteed. Put on your bell bottoms, they say, and show up.
Oh, no.
I would love to go to this. I must say I would. You can, if you're in that area, it's called the Interactive Exhibition with Video Games of the 70s. It's at SESC Santa Sao Paulo, Brazil. The address is AV Luiz Dumont Villarez, 579 Sao Paulo, SP02045. 85-100, and of course it's April 16th and 17th, the weekend, from 6 p.m. Till midnight on Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 1600 p.m. on Sunday. Again, it is free, and that information is up on our website if you are in that area. And I think I have a Portuguese version to put up. Well, no, that's just the invitation. I may share that with you anyway. Some of you out there are Portuguese may appreciate that it's up in Portuguese. So there you have it.
There we have it. Another party.
Okay, it is time for us to take a break.
Oh, is it time for the break?
It's time for the break. We got about 3 minutes before we go off.
Oh, yeah, I know you guys who are listening live are going to miss this. But come back, listen to the recorded version in a little bit. We've got some juicy news for you. Maybe even some fighting going on.
Oh, it's always good. That's always good. Oh.
Looks like SCEA is throwing down the gauntlet.
You're going to want to see this. This is going to be good.
Francis!
What? Grabbing pills.
Grabbing
pills.
Grabbing pills.
Pills here!
Grabbing pills.
Woo!
Grabbing pills.
Yeah!
Grabbing pills.
Nothing.
Not a thing. We're not up to nothing. Nope, not us. Oh, poor Corey. Oh, but just think, we get to go shopping.
This is true. Shopping is good. They're like, what the hell are they talking about? You don't need to know. Haha. See, if you played Second Life with us, you'd know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it my turn?
No, I think it's mine, actually. You finished up the last story.
I did. Oh, yeah. Portuguesa.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. So it's my turn. All right. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Looks like they grabbed it from Eurogamer. SCEA chief says DS is a babysitting tool.
Ooh.
No, right?
That's fighting words.
Sony Computer Entertainment America CEO Jack Tretton, I probably said it wrong, said that the Nintendo DS is nothing more than a kids-only babysitting tool. He made these comments during a recent interview with CNN, nonetheless.
Isn't he the boss of Sony? I mean, oh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Our view of the Game Boy experience is that it's a great babysitting tool, Tretton said in a bruising chat with CNN. Something young kids do on airplanes, but no self-respecting 20-something is going to be sitting on an airplane with one of those. He's too old for that. Hey, wait a minute. Why is it always going to be he? You know, come on.
Why is it always going to be 20-something? Because I got two in my house. Thank you.
Not content to bag exclusively on the DS, Tretton also takes shots at the Wii and the Xbox 360.
Oh!
Ouch!
Juicy, love it.
They're starting to run out of steam now in terms of continuing to be relevant in 2011 and beyond. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Why would I buy a gaming system without a hard drive in it? How does this thing sell? Or how does this thing scale? Motion gaming is cute, but if I can only wave my arm 6 inches, how does this really feel like I'm doing true, accurate motion gaming? Oh, apparently Sony's various platforms are just perfect. If you're really going to sustain technology for a decade, you have to be cutting edge when you launch a platform, he says. Here we are 4 years into the PlayStation 3, and it's just hitting its stride. We'll enjoy a long downhill roll behind it because technology that was so cutting edge in 2006 is extremely relevant today and is conspicuously absent in our competition. Ouch! The writer says, when you have nothing to lose, I guess you can't say anything you want. Ouch! I'm thinking Nintendo and Microsoft are not going to take this sitting down.
Did you see the end of that lovely press release, though?
Mm-mm. Oh, wait.
You gotta see that last paragraph.
Where was another paragraph to it? That was the end of that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at a different version. It says that the sales of both the Wii and Nintendo DS have slowed in the last year as both products reached the end of their life cycle, but they still outsell their Sony rivals in most markets. The Xbox 360 is still dominant in North America and the UK, and although the report does suggest that the global PS3 sales may now top those Microsoft home console, but they're still kicking your ass. Wow.
Oh, that is a good fight. I can't wait to see what they come back and say.
They better bring it at E3. If you got that kind of trash to talk at E3, you better come out with something mind-blowing.
Sure.
It better be a bodysuit that you put on and it has 3D motion capture and you can feel the hits, something.
That'd be awesome, motion capture. I want that. Somebody get on that right now.
Well, somebody's making one. Remember we talked about it a couple of months ago in the news. There's a company that's making one based on the Matrix technology.
I do remember that now.
We do
so much news sometimes.
But I was suggesting a suit so that if somebody hit you or shot you, you could feel it. Not full on people. Some of you are like, I don't want to feel shot, but I mean a nice little thump to the head, you know, or back or something, letting you know where the person is shooting you from would be interesting.
Please, please, please. There's so many guys that, some of these games I'm playing, I headshot them. I'd love for them to get a thump in the head.
That would be reason enough for me to go back and play Halo right there.
I'd go back.
I swear I'd go back.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's going to be a juicy fight.
Like, who are you calling a girl?
Blim, 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 blim.
Exactly.
Pew, pew, pew.
You want to see my boobs? Here. This is what they feel like. Blam. Headshot to the head, baby.
It's a headshot to the head? Is there a different place? Never mind, I'll be quiet. There they go.
Yes, okay. Yes. There is another place for a headshot.
Wait, this train wreck.
Okay. I usually just stick sticky bombs there.
I am walking away from this. Okay, so we have been waiting. We've been waiting. She's still laughing. I can feel you laughing over there, Ginger. We've been waiting. I feel you laughing. I can't hear you, but I feel you. Okay, so video games are being recognized at the Grammys. We've been waiting for this for years. The newly streamlined Grammys are considered to consider video games as a medium on par with television and cinema in four major award categories. I'm starting to watch the Grammys again. Bill Framos of the Recording Academy said to Industry Gamers, I think this could be viewed as the first step in the direction of video games getting their own category. Many people from the game community have been asking us to create a special category for games over the years, but the main reason is we haven't is because we've received very few entries from game publishers. Previously, video game soundtracks were eligible for consideration in certain categories at the Grammys, but only as other visual media. Now the award for Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media names the following applicable media: motion, television, video game music, and other visual media. Can you tell I'm smiling while I'm saying this? Oh, so excited. The music for visual media, best compilation soundtrack for video visual media, and best song written for visual media are also described in the same way. He says this acknowledges that film, TV, and games can stand side by side and be independently recognized. And that's from Steve Schnurr, who's the worldwide executive for music at EA. He says hopefully this will create an even playing field when people vote next year. He says, I expect there to be a tidal wave of submissions from the game industry. Crysis and Fallout, New Vegas composer Enon Zur has led a movement within the game industry to encourage the Recording Academy to recognize games as an equal with cinema and television. I bet they don't like that at all. He says, games today are a huge part of the entertainment industry, and the music scores being created for them are very unique sounding in many cases compared to film. He says, I believe that music for games has to take its own place from other genres to gain respect by the mainstream audience, and the Grammy category will help achieve this. And I believe as media, we get to vote in this, so I will be right there front and center voting for my favorite game music. Some of it is awesome. Ginger?
That is awesome.
That's exciting. That is very exciting. I've been waiting to hear that for many, many years. So now I'll start watching the Grammys again so I can yell. Oh, my God. I believe this juicy news just came in.
You got juicy news?
GeoHots.
Oh, I probably missed that one then.
With Sony? This just came in. I have to do this. I'm sorry, Ginger. Okay. Bad news, soap opera fans. The GeoHots versus Sony legal confrontation is over.
No! Come on, it was just getting good.
Yes, it's come to a close with the alleged attacker consenting to a permanent injunction. According to a post on the PlayStation blog, a settlement between the two factions was reached on March 31st in San Francisco Federal Court. He says Sony is glad to put this litigation behind us, commented counsel for Sony, Riley Russell. He says our motivation for bringing this litigation to protect our intellectual property and our consumers. He says I believe this settlement and the permanent injunction does achieve this goal. The exact details of the full settlement have not yet been revealed. Hotz also expressed relief that the disagreement surrounding the widely publicized PlayStation 3 security breach earlier this year has been resolved quickly. He says, it was never my intention to cause any users trouble or to make piracy easier. I'm happy to have the litigation behind me. He says, we want our consumer, Sony's saying we want our customers to be able to enjoy our devices and products in a safe and fun environment, and we want to protect the hard work of the talented engineers, artists, musicians, and game designers who make PlayStation games and support the PlayStation Network, added Russell. Says we appreciate Mr. Hotz's willingness to address the legal issues involved in this case and work with us to quickly bring this matter to early resolution. That is so juicy. And that's from our friends at Eurogamer. How did they get it before we did? Even in the United States, but hey.
They got a mole somewhere.
Well, I love the comments when Guy Hotz gets teabagged. And if you're asking what a permanent injunction is, it could mean that he may not ever again own, touch, or use anything from Sony. Did I say ever?
Ever. I think you did.
Ever. So that's... That could be what it means, but it could also mean that he just has to do whatever it is they say, do stop doing this or doing that. So they may not forbid him from owning.
He rolled over so easy all of a sudden. I'm like, no, what did they get on you, GeoHot? What else threw you in? What did you do that you didn't want?
Mm-hmm. That you didn't want public? Child porn or something? I'm kidding.
I was thinking more about some serious piracy. Like, I don't know.
That's bad. I think that
was part of WikiLeaks. Maybe big movie music guru downloaded a bunch of stuff.
Well, child porn would be much worse than WikiLeaks. That would be, you are forever labeled. Yeah.
True. Mm-hmm. You are.
So now everybody's wondering, what's that mean for Anonymous? Are you guys still going to be going after Sony? You should go after Hot. Seems to me like, you know, he's the one that rolled over and said, rub my belly. It's over.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe they'll lose steam.
And this has got to be my favorite comment. One of the guys says, Hot said it was never my intention to cause any users trouble. He says, I said the same thing when I released a Tyrannosaurus Rex in a New York subway, but nobody believed me.
True story. Nobody ever believes that.
Great comment. Yeah. So this will be interesting to see what this injunction is, if they let us know.
Oh, I hope they do. Somebody's got to leak it somewhere.
We may have to do some investigations of our own.
Mm-hmm. Flash fluffy cakes, get some news, yeah.
No, I'm just going to call up to... I'm just going to call up to San Francisco and see what I can find. It is public. You can request public information. I may have to fill out some forms and stuff, but I can find out. We'll see what we can do. We've somebody else may beat us to the punch. If they do, we'll just let them do the work. But if we do, I'll let you know later today. I'll leave you settled. How?
I know, right? I know. How could you? Come on, Gio. See, all that tough talk, all those videos, and you just rolled right over.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, do you want me to bite the pillow? Scream in the pillow? Yes, Master, I'll pose just like that.
You stop.
All right, so we got another fight going on, too, it looks like. Today is the day for taunting, apparently. Actually, well, this was a couple of days ago, but we didn't get it till after the show. Ubisoft, did you already read this about Ubisoft and EA?
I don't believe so, but ooh, that sounds juicy. Go, go, go.
Ubisoft says we can beat EA and Activision. Yeah.
What?
Ubisoft CEO Yves Guillemot claims that his company has what it takes to overtake EA and Activision at some point in the future to become the world's leading publisher. Speaking to NCV, Guillemot said EA's decision to sell its stake in Ubisoft has left the company in a stronger position to grow its business. He said, when they left, it changed lots for us. We've had a competitor owning a share of the company, and we were always worried that they could decide they would go for the company, and that would have become, and that wouldn't have been welcome. The problem is that when you have the number one player in your company, you can't buy another company that would be in conflict with them or their strategy. So now we are totally independent again, and we feel a lot better. We are number three, and our goal is to beat those guys, EA and Activision, at some point. We got from number 25 to number three, so we think that we can continue and that it is possible to become number one. It's not certain, but we are taking the steps that we think will get us there. Ubisoft is certainly a stronger company than it was a few years ago, but it's debatable that it could overtake EA or Activision. I mean, the writer goes on to say EA has Madden, Tiger Woods, which, grr, I can't even believe I'm mentioning that name, The Sims, and countless best-selling franchises. Activision has Call of Duty, StarCraft, and World of Warcraft. Yeah, good luck, people. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that both companies are tough to beat.
Well, the thing is, I think that Assassin's Creed is a good franchise for them, but didn't all those guys leave? Or they quit or something.
So that was fairly recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, they lost their strongest game, I think. And Just Dance is a good contender, but yeah.
No, not against World of Warcraft, not against EA, Madden, or Tiger Woods.
Yeah, they have to bring it. You have to bring it, people.
Mm-hmm. Down these fighting words, you better have something to back it up with.
Yeah, that's Sony taking on Microsoft and Nintendo. Did I learn anything yet?
No, I don't think so. Was Ubisoft the one with Aeon?
No, that was NCSoft.
There we go, my bad. Yeah, see, both of them, they kind of run together because I can't think of anything that's really major set.
Well, it is about that time as you hear the music coming up for us to vacate the premises.
See, guys, you want to actually stick in my memory? Send us games. Send us stuff. I'll remember you.
Well,
I'm mad about your stuff, but hey,
don't
give me bad stuff.
In the building, Katie's at
100,000. Oh. Well, good job all day long.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, I'm reading email. You guys make sure you listen to us all week. Thursday night as well. We'll have some guys on from Ricochet Games. I think I mentioned that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I keep forgetting what I'm going to say. I think my water buzz has worn off.
Uh-oh.
Nap time.
No.
All right, lovely people.
Ginger, heartbroken.
got a lock like me. I'm still like rocking lock in the death night spree. No one in the BG up the top like me. Cause I got more game than nothing wary. Cause I put on display when I'm dotting my prey. Dotting, dotting my prey. Dotting, dotting my prey. I don't need no skill with the class that I play. But my head's all callous rolling on the keyboard every day.